The April 29, 1968, Room 823, Brown Building, Washington, D.C. Abernathy of SCLC visits OEO. 4:35 or so, side one.
I'd like to welcome all of you to OEO. My name is Bert Harding, and I'm the acting director of the agency. We have been looking forward to your visit for several hours now, and we're happy that you made it today. Our ground rule on the press is that if it is your desire to have them here, we're happy to have them. If it is your desire to have a closed meeting, we will ask them to leave. And I take it that Mr. Young is agreeable to the press being on hand, and we're pleased to have him here. We are set up to record the proceedings of this meeting in that recording machine that you see running in the back of the room. We are, however, prepared to turn it off if you so desire. If we record the session, we will be happy to make a copy, a transcript of that recording available to you in whatever number of copies you might desire. So if you'd like that continued, we will. Otherwise, we'll turn it off.
We'd like that.
We'll continue the recording then. Beyond that, and beyond telling you that we are sincerely pleased to have you with us, we are, perhaps of almost any agency in town, more attuned to your objectives and where you seek to go. We are more conscious of our responsibility to serve you. We hope we can serve you. We feel that we have served you in the past, and we will continue to do so. But this is your meeting, and I will turn it over to Mr. Young, and we will try to be as responsive and helpful as we can. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Harding. I guess we can see already that at least this agency is a little better prepared to hear grievances than others. And I guess that we appreciate the response that they have given to our request for an audience before OEO. And as you know, we've come to present the demands of the Poor People's Campaign, and we're not here to get answers at this point. We've said that each agency will be allowed a 10-day period through which they might analyze and study, and then we will be back, at which time we will expect answers from OEO and Mr. Harding especially. I think this point, the point of this meeting, is simply to give the poor people who have come here, who represent American Indian, American Negro, Mexican American, Puerto Ricans, Appalachian whites, what else? Afro-Americans, and a lot of mixtures in between, because there's one brother here from Virginia who comes as a Negro, but he looks kind of Indian to me. So I imagine that we are the poor, and I don't know that there's been a gathering of poor people like this in an organized fashion coming to the seat of government to present their grievances, and we certainly appreciate OEO giving us this hearing. We've asked Mr. Victor Charlo of the Flathead Indian Reservation in Utah to read our statement, and after which we'll have responses from persons who he'll call on.
One of the first things I'd like to make straight, the Flathead Indian Reservation isn't in Utah, it's in Montana. I happen to be living in Utah these days. Ordinarily, I suppose, what you might do is you might give a formal address to the distinguished members, but I feel that all of us are distinguished so I won't lead off that way. I'll just say people. We as representatives of the black, brown, and white poor of America come to the Office of Economic Opportunity with a heavy and bitter heart. We go to the other departments of the federal government as spokesmen for the neglected poor of the country because our citizens who live in poverty have been forgotten or never considered by those who administer programs for big business, the large acreage farmer, the skilled worker, and others who are part of America's mainstream of plenty. But OEO was the agency supposedly created especially to serve the poor and to give them the power and the money to speak and to act for themselves. You have failed us. You were to be our spokesman within the federal government, but our needs have gone unspoken. You were to help us take our rightful places as dignified and independent citizens in our communities, but our manhood and womanhood have been sold into bondage to local politicians and hostile governors. 4 years ago, we had hope. We thought that an Office of Economic Opportunity would provide us a doorway into American society, but OEO became the middleman, captured by the myriad of anti-poverty agencies that continued their traditional and abusive ways of dealing with poor people. We demand that OEO reorder its priorities so that the consumers of services be involved in the policy making, the technical assistance, and the employment levels of those programs which continue to be administered by the agency. We call on OEO to, one, issue regulations implementing citizen participation from poverty communities. This must be done without delay to bring the voice of the poor to those chambers where public officials now control OEO programs. Two, to issue and implement a clear and simple appeals procedure that can be understood by the poor. Three, to spell out requirements that will make local politicians respond for respecting the civil and human rights of the poor. This step is essential in those cases where the local political authority refuses to participate in the CAP programs or where the CAP agency is not responsive to the needs of the poor. If these problems exist, poor people must be able to operate their own programs. Four, to establish firm guidelines for the regional offices. Despite new authorities vested in the regional offices, Washington officials must not abdicate all responsibility for programs. Number five, to publicly support the 75 million summer jobs, the 25 million Head Start supplemental appropriations, and the general 279 million supplemental appropriation. Six, to monitor the budgets of delegate federal agencies so funds that could be used are not returned to the Treasury. Last year, $52 million from the Neighborhood Youth Corps was returned to the Treasury. This must not happen again. Seven, to restructure and convene the OEO Citizen Advisory Council and to give the poor stronger and broader representation of this council. OEO must maintain communication with representatives of the poor and with the private groups concerned with the anti-poverty program. We further demand of OEO that all programs delegated by OEO to other federal agencies contain strong provisions for OEO to monitor and evaluate programs. OEO must set up procedures so that the poor are an integral part of all evaluations. Two, that the agency must make available a plan for its future organizational structure. Three, that the Economic Opportunity Council be activated and an executive director be appointed as provided by law with the concurrence of the Citizens Advisory Council. OEO must insist that the now fragmented anti-poverty effort of a variety of federal agencies be coordinated through itself and the EOC. OEO is a symbol of the federal anti-poverty efforts on all federal agencies. Number four, the programs which do not meet quality standards must be defunded and the funds made available to other groups in the community. Lack of involvement of the poor must be considered the prima facie evidence of lack of quality. Yes. Now that we've done this, I think that the important thing that we're here today and what we're about here in Washington is to hear from the people themselves, as we've been hearing, tell it as it is. And there are some people here today that I think who can give you some of these things in their own way instead of, you know, a written statement, and I think they can do a much better job. First of all, we have the representative from the poor, Mrs. Phyllis Robinson from Providence, Rhode Island.
I'd like to discuss the problem of Head Start programming and the budget cut. First of all, I'd like to say that the Head Start mothers have finally gotten out of their homes and got adjusted to going to school and to act as volunteers to their children in the classrooms. And now suddenly the program is being cut and the classes are getting reduced. And just as these families are getting adjusted to this, to society, they're being told, well, now this program has to be cut because we've got to send all this money to Vietnam or for other programs. You understand? And we feel that it's an injustice has been done here, and this should be remedied. We also think that the money should go directly to the poor and avoid the channels of the directors and highly paid officials, and that the Head Start program of the nation should have a poor people's representation to sit in on all meetings of the OEO in Washington, D.C., that the poor people have a representative at every district regional office, that the poor people have a voice in the procedures of newly formed programs, that the OEO make every consideration to the poor people's plight and not cut back funds and start new programs, such as the follow-through program, which is now enacted in Providence. It started a new program. It cut back the funds from the Head Start program, and it started a brand new program again. See, you're taking out from one and giving to the other, which isn't fair to our children, our 5-year-old and 4-year-old children. It builds up our hopes on one program and then cuts it back. Implement new program. Poor people have enough intelligence to know and to feel what they want. Why not ask us? Now, I turn this directly over to Etta Horn, who will speak further on the OEO. Ms. Etta Horn.
As a representative for all the welfare recipients in this nation, we think that OEO has done a lousy job in supporting the bill, which is now bill number 9248. We know that OEO is putting money in for daycare centers to support a bill that has put mothers into slavery. We also know that OEO is in with Congress on trying to pacify people across this nation. We have been set up to say, okay, what is our problem? But in the meantime, you have guidelines and so forth to shut us up. We are saying that if OEO wants to see a better nation and supposed to be as what y'all is set out to be when you first started, we are going to demand that you do no cutting, demand that you do not support a bill that would put people in slavery, and demand these, and our demands, we are saying, we'll be asking, we'll be back in 10 days. Thank you.
That's it.
The next, we have Linda C. Cusimano, I hope I pronounced that name right, from the Poor People's Campaign, New York City.
Thank you. I'll try to make this very brief. But I did take some notes. I think that OEO was created about 5 years ago, and the newspapers blatantly screamed that this was money to be given to poor people because poor people knew what they wanted to do and how to do it. I challenge that. I challenge it because I have yet to see poor people given any money. And I have yet to see poor people in the roles of policymaking governing this anti-poverty program. I'd like to challenge another thing. I'd like to challenge our country's smartness on how to get money. Now, they talk about nonviolence, and we're all mothers and family people here and young people. The only money that I have ever seen poured, literally poured, into cities is after it's been riot-ridden. That is the only time. Otherwise, cities have to fight each other. Their own brothers and sisters they have to fight in these stupid electoral districts that they set up amongst neighbors to send out representatives on some kind of a council in the community. You fight your own brother so you can, slum politics, you know, right? The slum politics keep the people fighting among themselves. And so by the time you finish voting against and for each other, you don't want to hear about a program that's going to do a whole community any good. You just want the money for yourself and your program and your idea. I'd like to challenge another thing. I'd like to challenge the people of our country who represent youth in our country, who are supposedly doing things for the youth in our country, who are worried about delinquency in our country and addiction and the high rate of unwed, single, and divorced mothers. I'd like to know what they're doing about it. I've seen huge books written about all the statistics, and they talk about all of this moral deprivation and all that, those big words. I think the most morally deprived are the people who are writing it, because I haven't seen them in the streets. I've only seen them in the libraries researching. I haven't seen them feel any. I don't know if anybody got a needle mark on their arm when they talk about dope in those books. That's what I want to know. I want to see them sit back oblivious and high in their homes because they don't want to face anything that's going on around them. And I want to watch them not be angry when they watch their mothers and their fathers crying and beating themselves to death for welfare rights. Who are they out of their minds? Welfare rights. That's our money, and we're entitled to it. We're entitled to it, and we have to watch our parents die unhappy and miserable and being carried out in ambulances that took 3 hours to get there after they'd fallen with heart attacks. We're going to sit there and watch and wait for our parents to die, screaming and yelling about not having food for us and not having shoes on our feet. The hell we are. And you better sit up and listen, Mr. People, over our heads, a generation older than us. It's the youth of this country that are going to build the homes that our parents are now dying in. We're going to build homes, beautiful homes for them. And we're going to pave the roads for them to walk down. And we're going to put good clothes on their feet because we're strong. We're very strong. And it's the youth of this country that's going to have a voice in every phase of government. And we're not going to be apprentices. We're going to be representatives of the youth in our country. I want to see every single phase of government with youth represented. And that's right, we may be a little flip and we may say things not exactly right, but we can get a crowd going. Wait a minute. I'd like to make a few demands. Okay. I would like to demand, absolutely demand, and I want you to have only 10 days to think about it. I would like to demand that all the professionals in your large, huge, bureaucratic institutions. Think about this tonight. I want to see doctors in the slums, mister, in the gutter, preventing illness, not waiting for us to get there dying. I want preventative medicine in this country. Preventative. I don't want to have people with all kinds of ugly diseases in the hospitals. I want them in the slums. If this country can transplant hearts, God damn it, then they're going to start doing something about it in the slums. They got millions of dollars transplanting. I'm glad you can transplant a heart. I'm glad. I'm very glad about it. But what about the people in the slums who can't even get to the clinics? What about the you have the nerve to cut out Medicaid for the most crucial ages of all. The parents of the children. You know, they can't get dental where the teeth fall out, their feet fall apart, their stomachs fall out, right? And you want these to be quiet and not hostile people. Those people who are not taken care of medically. And let me tell you about the realities of the slums. If you've got a good body and you don't have earaches and toothaches and body aches, you're going to have reasonable people to talk to. But when you have to march and your feet hurt from the get-go, right, and your stomach hurts from the get-go, and you've got to march, by the time you get where you're going, you want to rip something up. Most of all, it's your own insides because they hurt so much. But you'll take it out on the first person to come along. And you have the nerve to throw kids out of schools who are disruptive. I'll tell you an example of a disruptive kid. They threw him out of a school. They gave him an IQ test. This is a specific example of a kid. He was marked mental deficient and ready to get sent off to a mental institution. The kid had a cataract in his left eye and couldn't see. He had excruciating big tonsils. He couldn't hear. And he had a hole in his mouth this big. Now, I'd like to know any kid who could study under those conditions. Any kid at all who can study. I want to see student unions established to represent every kid who has been reprimanded by a teacher. Every single kid who's been reprimanded by a teacher. I want to see medicine in the slums, preventative medicine in the slums. You know, and I want to see our homes be, we can rebuild our homes. We don't need, what do they call that money? 2 years to write a research, to look up the facts before you get any money for a program. What's the name of that?
Program development.
That's it, baby. I'll develop my own program while I'm building. I don't want. And I also don't want to see anybody going into an OEO program and from the get-go getting $125 a week. Because, you know, that ain't right. Because then the program ceases like that, and, like, you don't have... Where's the value? Where's the values of employment? Man, I had a project... Let me tell you about a project... No, that's it. I'll just tell you something. A lot of people try to get programs through OEO. After 3 years of trying to get programs through OEO, and after finally seeing the man Sandy Kravitz when he was around, they said that the project is too large an undertaking for you people, that you'd be met by high opposition from professional agencies in your area. It took them 2 years to have the guts to tell us that. So we opened it up anyway, and it had to shut down because there were no funds. And that goes for every other program that opens up. If it's too indigenous, you all get scared. We didn't have one social worker in there. We didn't have one teacher in there. We only had a doctor in there who was willing to work for us. And the program is shut down now because there's no damn money around. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter where. It's anywhere USA. Because why are those migrant workers dying left and right? Because nobody would give a dime to those people to send them out to medicine to close the shelter. You let us build those homes. You let us build it. Because let me tell you something. The monopolies that are now involved in industry, they're going to have to wake up very quick. Because one day they're going to find, just like Columbia found its little old administrative offices swooped across. There's going to be a whole lot of administrative offices in this country swooped across. That's right. And I'm not going to sit here waiting for you. 10 days, mister. 10 days. We want some kind of reasonable answer, a short answer, like a yes or a no. And how much money, I want to know specifically, and I want an answer almost today, I want to know specifically how much money you are going to give to youth corps programs this summer. I want an answer, and I want it now. I want to know how much you got right today, and then 10 days from now, I want to know how much more you got. Because I want today's answer so that I can compare it to when I come back 10 days from now. I don't want to know 10 days from now because I have nothing to weigh it on. I want to know specifically how much more money is on demonstration programs. And if they have been frozen, then you better find yourself another job unless you get more money. I mean, really, you know, we've got to start beginning to establish the values of where the poor people's money's going. And it's going to go to us. It's going to go for our homes and our jobs and our families and our children. Because our children are the ones who are going to reap the benefits of this martyrdom that we have to sit up here and go through all of this. Because it's not right that we have to sell our souls every time we want a little bit of something. and maybe our children won't have to go through this.
We have a speaker from the Appalachian area, Donald Turner. Did you make it? Do we have a speaker for the Appalachian poor?
He didn't make it.
I want everyone who makes money to buy a button for poor people's campaign. They're 50 cents or a dollar or $1.50 or a blank check.
I'm Francis Wells from Mingo County in Appalachia, and what I would like to see is just to back what has already been said by others, and also I want to mention the Green Amendment. Down our way, they are talking about putting the OEO program in the hands of the county court, and if they put it there, we have been getting a little of it, but if it goes in the hands of the county court, that's the end of it. Or they would use it only to keep our hands tied or keep us more and more in prison, and we're here trying to get out of prison now, out from under bondage as poor people.
I think this is probably the biggest single complaint that we've run into around the country, that anywhere poor people have demonstrated an ability to carry on and run a good program, they find themselves undercut by the local politicians. And that's true. Certainly everybody knows about Mississippi. There were 100 kids here marching in front of the White House last week that had a beautiful Head Start program that the whole operation, you know, the rug was dragged out from under them. There's similar kinds of programs that happened to us in Chicago, in the state of Georgia. I shouldn't even try to get logical about it, because it seems to be an impossible kind of choice. That if you want Democratic Party patronage, and you're willing to bow down to get that, then you might find a way to get an OEO grant in some places. If you want to really be able to have some sense of political and economic freedom, some self-respect and the ability to make your own decisions, we find it awful hard just about anywhere in the country to run up against the opposition that's placed in our path by local politicians.
And I'd like to say that we demand that the Green Amendment be done away with.
Well, I'm from Boston.
Can you pass the mic? That's the mic. Okay. You reach. That's good.
I'm Mrs. Terry. I am Mrs. Terry, representing Boston, especially the Blue Hill Christian Center, which we was cut out of funds. Every other organization that has a good program going for the kids in the ghetto was cut out. The proposals that were sent in, they were torn up. Some of the program was taken out that they wanted to use, and the rest was thrown in the trash. We haven't as yet been funded. We had been funded by the Blue Hill Christian Center, which they cut that out also, altogether. Now, this money has got to be going someplace. the money that is going into Boston is going to, is you being used to with somebody that don't even know anything about what the ghetto is in the slumlands of Roxbury. And we have been cut completely out. And we would like very much to know why we was cut out with all the programs which is still going through and by different people giving us money, donating money. I would like to know very much why did they cut us out of the program with as many programs that we have going on in Boston at the Blue Hill Christian Center for the children, the poor, that's in the ghetto, in the slum land, that are living in roach harbors, rat traps, fire traps, and any other thing you can name, we have it there.
Thank you. I think we should also hear from the Indian Community Action Programs, because I think there are specific grievances also, and perhaps there are demands. I might mention also that I am working for the OEO program, but I had to take these days as days of a leave of absence, because OEO hasn't endorsed the Poor People's March. And I felt, as I understand, they haven't. And I felt they have,
you have not.
Okay.
Right.
And as a result, I was asked to take a couple of days off and not represent part of the consortium at the University of Utah that works on Indian reservations. But I did feel that if I was to have, you know, give the any meaning to the last 2.5 years that I've had working with OEO, I felt that I had to be here with the Poor People's Campaign. I have worked on an Indian reservation, on the Flathead Reservation, for about 6 months as the assistant CAP director. I was very enthused about this whole program because it looked like it was going to do something. But there's a joke going around reservations saying, you know, it took 150 years for the BIA to get their bureaucracy, and it took OEO only 3 years to develop the same kind. Oh, the BIA is the Bureau of Indian Affairs, one of our biggest stumbling blocks, perhaps. And I think that also, I work with the University of Utah giving technical assistance and training, and the frustrations that I feel right now are I'm going around telling the people what they might have had. In other words, I'm telling them today, you know, if you acted in 64 or 65, you could have had all these beautiful programs, but now there's no money. And you can recite all these nice programs, and then at the end say, but there is no money. And we have funding levels, and it's killing the reservations. And I think that we have Mel Walker. I think he has a statement coming from the CAP programs on Indian reservations. Mel? Oh, Mel Tom, I'm sorry. We have a Mel Tom and Mel Walker.
You know, Indian people have been pretty peaceful for the last 100 years since they've been subdued to sometimes a very lowly human deprivation. I think that day is coming to an end. It's coming to an end. I don't represent any certain part of the power structure that is condoned by the federal government. I don't work for the government, or I'm not one of them agencies that one of those kinds of tribal governments that the government likes to see, I suppose. I'm a young person. I perhaps relate best to the old people, the people who don't have a chance to speak because tribal politics is dominated by the federal government, controlled by white interest groups that tell Indians what to think, how to be, how to act. And many of us young people are tired of that. We've had it. I see that there's an Indian desk in the Community Action Program. That Indian desk is not even here to listen to it. There's this, the Poor People's Campaign is well represented by American Indians, but there's not an Indian desk representative in here to listen. I would like to know why. Is it because we are not people? We cannot be heard either? I would like to know this. I would say, and I don't think I have to retract this, that the OEO, the major part of the OEO funds have not reached the poor Indian. They have not. You've heard a lot of stories about successful OEO programs on Indian reservations. This is built up, played up. My father doesn't even know what OEO is, I don't think. The successful programs are the kinds that are controlled, monitored, masterminded out of the office like this, or a regional office, or many of the universities which are set up to mastermind and control. The kind of people they like to have is the kind that look like and act like the powerful whites. That's the kind of people they like to have. My father could no more stand a chance to get a job in OEO, although he represented and is part of that community more than anybody else is. Because they're passed down guidelines and requirements that he can't even read. But he's a very competent and a very efficient man. But according to those kind of standards, he isn't. As a result, like many other people, he's lost his will. I don't like to see things like this. A lot of us young people don't like to see this. But it goes on. I'm very pleased to see the Indian turnout in this Poor People's Campaign. I really am. Maybe we don't have all the know-how yet, but I think we're that day is coming when we're going to move. And when we move, like I say, is watch out. I believe, in particular, I would like to speak to the needs of many of the small communities. I'm from a small reservation. There's only about 400 or 500 resident Indian population. I know of other small reservations, which may have going for small programs, which probably are some of the best, which probably are the most imaginative because they're controlled by people. But because they're small, they're neglected. Most of the Indian reservations are small. But instead, it's a traditional policy of the federal agencies to find pet reservations, pet communities, build them up, give them a lot of publicity, say that, well, look, all we've done for the Indians. What are you doing for yourself now? You know, I would tell them, I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to do nothing for you, you know. And I know in particular, my own reservation, we submitted an application on August 31st, last year. It's not funded yet. A simple little $16,000 program. I know another program in Quileute, Washington, which has been in for, I believe, 9 months. It hasn't been answered yet. I think before we leave here, we should have an answer why these haven't been funded. We're getting tired of getting these form letters, you know. I think these people are competent at home. You know, why? The other alternative we got is to go and hire some expert. Go hire somebody that's supposed to tell us how to be. Those kind of days are gone. You know, we ain't going to stand for that much longer. You know, maybe we will. Maybe the powers will come down. Maybe they'll bring all kinds of brutality down to make us toe the line, you know. We don't have to be physical brutality. There's other kinds of brutality. And they go pretty deep. I think... before I leave Washington, I want to know about these two. I want to know about these two particular community action programs. I want to know why they haven't been funded. Maybe I should have brought back all the form letters you get back, bring them back, because they don't mean nothing. We need the program. We need the money. And I personally want an answer to these two before we leave here.
Would you be able to identify those for us? Because I just offhand, I tried.
Walker River Paiute Tribe, Nevada. Quileute Tribe, State of Washington. A Intertribal Council of California, which is composed of small little groups, not a great big tribe that gets all kinds of publicities, but poor people who have a genuine need.
Ute? U-T-E?
Paiute.
Yes.
I think it took a lot of courage for some of these guys, Vic Charlo, guy who works for OEO, to come here and participate in the Poor People's Campaign. I think it's going to take a lot more like that. We just started. I think we're off to a good start. Thank you.
Yes, let's see. Almost forgot you, didn't we?
Let's see. Do you have a...
Harold from Tucson, Arizona, and I represent the Indian community of Tucson. These are Indian people who have moved off the reservations and are having such a hard time in the city. The Indian people who move into town are the poorest of poor. And I know because I came up this way. My husband and I went through so much just to get what we have gotten so far, and I would like to see my children and all other people's children have a better hope, a bright future. Why do we have to live in this country that is ours? Why are we suppressed in all our wishes, in all our hopes, in all our desires? Why? I thought this was what OEO was, to help all people. In Tucson, the Indian people were the last people to be funded. And again, I say we are the poorest of the poor. And I work out of a Tucson Indian Center, and only the salary is paid to the workers. One of the workers doesn't work, but she gets her full month's salary. I work for the University of Arizona, and I do this girl's work. I don't think it's fair for her to get a full salary, OEO money, and for me to do the work for her. I think you need to look into your program more, for the benefit of all people, not only the Indian people, for everyone.
I think before we get off the Indians, just one comment that I've been hearing coming from the Indian programs again and again. And I think this is probably a comment from any poor community. And that's the original intent of OEO was to give the local communities a chance to voice what they thought their needs were. and write up a program that fit what they thought fit their needs. But the problem is that when that program comes back from Washington, D.C., and after all the changes have been made, all the special conditions have been made, you don't even recognize your own program. And is this, you know, is this coming from the people? You know, I think this is the question they're asking. You know, why is it? You know, we realize that you have to protect your money, but do you have to protect it this much? You know, let's not lie to each other. You know, if you're going to protect your money this way, then I think that the Indian reservation should say, we don't want your money. We'll find some money. We'll find some money, you know, that doesn't have all these restrictions. And don't lie to us and tell us that, you know, these are our programs, because I'm afraid they're not. Not after they come back from Washington, D.C. They don't even look like them. Is there anyone yet from Appalachia that would like to speak? The white poor. Here we go. Good. Here's that we've got one down here. Okay.
My name is Donald Turner. This came unexpected to me. I don't know who gave my name as a speaker for Appalachia, but I'm more than happy to do it. To start with, I'd like to talk about the CAP programs we have down there. They start with people like Carr Perkins. He gets his share of it. It goes down to the state, they get their share of it. It goes down to the county and they get their share of it. There's none left for the poor people when it gets down there. I've worked with the poverty program for 2 years. And there's one program in eastern Kentucky that's trying to do something, and now they're having to bag to try to stay in business. The Appalachian Volunteers. People like Carr Perkins they've getting pressure on Carr Perkins, and he's putting the pressure on Marie Turner in my county to cut the money off. And OEO's willing to go along with Carr Perkins and cut the money off so they can stay in business up here. And, you know, we're getting tired of it. I think maybe that the people from Appalachia will be back in 10 days, and they'd like to hear something from OEO, too. Thank you.
Charles Maggard, and I also represent the Appalachian Volunteers in Kentucky. And there was a resolution passed just recently in Prestonsburg, Kentucky by CAP, some CAP outfit over, I don't know the name of it, that they were going to run the Appalachian Volunteers out of Kentucky. I am a resident of Kentucky, and I'm here to tell the CAP directors of Eastern Kentucky, Governor Louis Nunn of Kentucky, and Mr. Harding of OEO, that I ain't a running no damn where. That's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah.
Do we? People of Appalachia didn't come to this world, right? I don't think they'll leave that way.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak? Yes. Okay. Let's see, Sonia. So we have one, we have two people. Okay.
I just wanted to give testimony as a former secretary for Neighborhood Advisory Council of the political manipulation in our area, that every time any of the people came up with an idea, they were swarmed, you know, by all kinds of manipulation that stopped the whole thing dead in the tracks. And I tried to work by writing letters and registering them and all this sort of thing to try to pin people down. And I got a little bit, but not much. I wound up with a breakdown from all the pressure that I was getting. No, that was all I wanted to say.
Okay, good. So we had another fellow coming up. Yes.
I just wanted to talk about citizen participation as being a young black man from the ghetto. I come from Buffalo, New York, and my name is John Redding. When the CAP program for the summer came up, it was called Project Cover, and they wanted as much citizen participation as they could have. And they tried to get as many young Negroes involved in it as they could. So I went out with many other of the brothers out into the streets trying to get people's interest. We took surveys and all these other things. One of the reasons I was so closely connected with it was because my brother, Fred Redding, was director of Project Cover. So we had these surveys, interviews, got people's opinions on what significant kinds of jobs they wanted to do throughout the summer, not only in the summer, but throughout the year, what type of programs they wanted, all these types of things. We finally got it together and a budget together, and we came before last week, it came before the final ruling out session. So we submitted all these things. This is all the citizens together. We submitted, this didn't even get sent out to you, right in the Buffalo office. They called in a consultant from New York City, and they just threw out everything. They said, what you say is significant to you, just in the guidelines doesn't mean it's significant. We had come up with some new ideas. Kids feel that the jobs that they do are significant to them. They don't want to be doing such things as key punch operators, things that are significant to the society as a whole. They want to do things that's significant to them and their community. There were kids 15, 16 years old. They want to contribute their time building up dilapidated houses, organizing kids into teen groups, these types of things. But it wasn't seen as being significant. The only thing I'm trying to say to you is try not only to talk about citizen participation, but pass it on down to the home offices.
Well, I'm going to talk directly to you and everybody in here. You see, I don't think you're a fool. I really don't. But somebody is acting like a fool. Because ain't no way in the world people could be cutting out all this stuff knowing what's going on. Not unless you got a bigger plan. You see, people are not foolish. You know, every time I look at Martin's picture, I get mad and madder. I'm very serious about this, and I'm nonviolent until somebody touch me. And it's no joke. I know the boy sitting right beside you, too. Very serious. A lot of us, you know, it's no more joke. But I tell you what I want to talk about. See, I also worked, you know, for your kind. I don't know about your group, but UPO, before I quit them. They're jiving. I've spent too much time in the struggle to be jiving for $75 a week. And only I was resting then because I worked up here in Washington. And I knew you people were jiving. See, because in the movement, we were only getting $9.65 a week. That's what we were getting. Getting shot at and all the rest. That's pain. We're not going to run no more pain on you, baby. Because we know you big shots up here love pain. We're taking pain, put into a program. We're taking emotions and put into a program. And we're coming straight across at you now, Jack. We're going to talk our own language, too. No more yelling and screaming. No more yelling and screaming. You see, people are sick and tired. And I'm going to tell you something else, what you don't know. You're a dingling, baby. You cannot touch bottom, and you better leave this job. I'm going to tell you right now, whether you know it or not, if you want to straighten the country out, you better let people do it that know how. You see, because I am not patriotic. Matter of fact, I'm not even American. I'm a victim of America. Just like a lot of more of these people here are victim of America. You are American. But we can question that now. What do American really mean? You see, every minute we have now, we better be thinking. You see, I know what happened. See, I went all around this country right here, friend. 565 cities, I did. Nobody helped me at all. I done it on my own. to every university doing what we call soul sessions, trying to bring about communication amongst people. Your group, right over here, called Communications Department, a bunch of middle-class people. I'm not going to say black, I'm not going to say white. I'm going to say hung up people in your structure. Structure, what that word is. Who cannot touch bottom. They only know how to deal with, they think, a Negro. And something else too, the hillbillies. I'm going to tell them too. They can't deal with you, baby, because they're scared of you. Because you are them. They ran from you, hillbillies. That's why they don't deal with you. And what the man can't deal with, he get rid of. What he don't understand, he name. We know this now. So this is not a jive. I have an international perspective of it now. I see it. And it's like it's all over the world, people. Don't y'all think that we're alone. They love Martin Luther King over in Berlin. This is not pain. This is what people are for now. People want to talk now. Before the action goes down, and it's going down. Just a few little sparks out here in the streets now. Just a few. But you see, what we're trying to tell you now, we come to educate you, boy. And I'm not jiving when I say boy. Don't laugh. Y'all laughing. You better listen. Any man in here better be glad to be a boy. Black people wanted to be men after white men. And we know now where your manhood is at. We don't want to be no men. I'll be a boy. You better try to come down to be a boy. Then you may know how to treat your woman who is a person first. Because women are getting tired. Everybody's getting tired of being frustrated because of you up on the moon for nothing while she's here on earth. White boy, think. Because everybody sitting here now is not doing no more jiving. I'm going to talk my own language and you don't understand it now. See, I'm three people. I'm not talking that Claude Brown thing either. In the sense I am. Black man, that's one you know you'll never understand. Negro, that's what you name me. And Uncle Tom, also what you name me. And you can't deal with now one of them. You see, you getting this for nothing. I had to hitchhike down here from Chicago with my little white wife and a little black baby on the highways from Chicago. That's pain, baby. But I don't want to run the pain down to you because I've been doing it all my life. You dig it? Now, right now, what I'm telling you, you got a communication department over here. They can't do it. They're hung up. They're middle-class people. Middle-class people don't touch the bottom. It's a pyramid, baby. The bottom is moving. The top's going to fall. They can't even hold on. You got to come on down to earth. I think what Rap Brown says, something very simple. You never heard rap. All you've heard what you imagine he said in his brains. He said, if America don't come around, you dig that? Don't. America should be burnt down. Now that sounds like violence. That's not violence. Because you know why? Man, I'd hug one of the most beautiful people in the world, a little Vietnamese person over there in East Germany. I hugged the little cat and he started crying, asked me, what could he do to help me? In my country. I don't have no more tears now. Mine's gone when Martin left. Mine gone when Jimmie Lee Jackson left. Matter of fact, I haven't cried since William Moore went. That's a good little time ago. I cried then. No more tears, no more pain. So man, you want to get together? Don't you put no time limit on nothing. What you better do, I believe, maybe you sit around and ask what kind of skills, what kind of talents and what kind of capacity you have to put to a task to get a job done. I'm not insecure no more. I was when I was running around, Andy. No more, baby. No more insecurity here. I know who I am. I got my identity. And I tell you right now, I have taken an oath too, OEO. You can't buy me. I have taken an oath of poverty. I was born and raised in it. You know, maybe sometimes I feel like I'm just existing. But I feel good. But one thing I want to tell you, again, I'm going to keep on saying one thing, because that's my old hang word. You know, you don't understand it, but I just say hang word. Brothers and sisters, you do. People who had to come through life learning how to survive while you went to a university to learn how to get an education. No good, man. You can't deal with me now. But we better learn. I want to know right now how I can use you and how you can use me. That's right down to the nitty-gritty. How can I use you and how can you use me? You better get old LBJ here. You better get Lady Bird. You better get all of them here. This is not no more joke. And if you got somebody out here ready to kill me, that ain't no big thing. Hell, they got Martin. All of us ready to go now. And don't think I'm pimping off Martin, baby. You know I'm not. I know what you went through, too. We don't have to talk about it. But what we're trying to say, you better take this whole thing called OEO and turn it over to poor people. If y'all want to call it campaign, go ahead and call it. I don't care what you call it. But you better do it. Because you know why? In Germany, you know it. Because you read international press. They're burning them buildings over there, too. Axel Springer's, which is America. All through Germany, all through France, all through England, I led the demonstrations over there. And I spoke to 50,000 when Martin had died over there and told it like it was. I'm a victim of America. So, one thing, friend, if I'm going to call you a friend, I mean it. So I have no animosity in my heart. It's all gone now. I have my identity. I'm with everybody here. You may hear us, you know, argue. Hell, that's good. All poor people argue. That's the way we survive so long. We got to argue. But we ain't going to argue no more amongst ourselves. We just don't understand each other because we're so excited and try to get it out. But see, I'm looking directly down this table at you and everybody else in here. And we want to say one thing. Friend, what do you want to do? First of all, let's admit the truth. You don't know what to do. I know this. Secondly, if you don't know what to do, Jack, get out the way. If you don't get out the way, the thing will be out there in Bethesda, baby. They're one of the richest communities in the world. And I have stayed in some of the best homes in the world. I have. Old poor black boy, nappy head and all that. But it's all right. Brother, you're going to have to come on down to earth. Because if you don't, there ain't going to be no earth left. The Indians are ready. You better believe it. The hillbillies are ready. The Mexicans, they want their land back, baby. The Indians want their land back. Now, where are you going? You people have put your own stuff in a trick bag. And I'm hoping the honest to God truth, the Indian will let me lay around. Because I'm going to do some work to help them get it back. That is my black power. I'm a black man, boy, rather, and got some power. That's it. Think, white boy. Don't clap, please. When you clap, people, I'm going to tell you what you do. You make mistakes. You weren't listening. This is what they call a prayer, too. I know something about St. Paul, baby. That's all I had to read overseas. Because I don't have reading all that old language. But I got my thing together. And you better get yours together, boy. Everybody in here get it together, because I believe that thing called Job Corps is the beginning of what they call concentration camps. All the young black boys are sitting up in them damn places. If you people got any children in there, get them out of there. Get them out of them damn camps and bring them back to the cities. If you Indians got them in there, bring them out of them damn camps. Because you thinking reservations bad, them camp babies something else. That's our young people. And anybody in here in one of these organizations that push that thing called Job Corps should be shot out of town. Shot out of town. Did you dig it? Not run, shot out. And another thing, we know the white man is full of tricks now. Because you have to prove your manhood through white, you know, this tricking. We hip to trickeration. That's black people's word. Trickeration. Because we're going to use some blockology on you, baby. Blockology. Because you use psychology. I'm not trying to beat you down, man. I'm trying to make you think. You know, this is what what do you call it, Martin called it? Nonviolent direct action, wasn't it? This is it. It's coming to you from everywhere. And the thing I can say is, if you don't have nothing to say, sit back until you do get something to say. Or if you just say, I quit, that's good. And you say you quit, talk to old LBJ. He better stop that war in Vietnam. Black boys fighting a yellow man for a white man is no good. We know it now. Don't do that, please. Honest, I hate it. You see, because one thing, that right there, we know where your manhood is at now through a girl, a barrel of a gun. We don't have to prove our manhood, me and you. I want to deal with you as a person. You better get human, boy. Because right now, you know, I hitchhiked to Germany. Hitchhiked. You know, I didn't walk no water. And I made it all through France. I seen the slum. I seen things nobody have seen. The worst in the world, poverty. I know. But brother, look, took me a long time to come to this microphone. I'm just going to say a few more words and I'm going to let you have it back. We all have it back. But I want to tell you something. I seen poverty, man. We don't live in poverty over here, people. We really don't. France is the worst place in the world. They hate us because we got dark skins. And he's a white man again. So this thing must be internationally. I understand this thing called NATO, which has got something to do with OEO, all of us hooked up together. NATO, North America Trick Organization, trick you up into it again. Man, what is wrong with you people? Let me tell you something else too. See, I'm dangerous and you better kill me. You better kill me now. You know why? I'm dangerous. I know about it. I'm ready to die too. I told you that. You see, one thing, baby, you know what I know? I know about all of you OEO people who meet. I know about Dean Russ. I know about all the rest of them cats who meet in a place called Amsterdam. Holland. I know about that. You know who I got it from? Little conservative white kids who are sick of this system, who talk about all these big shots from all of these countries, white countries, who come together to sit down and try to figure how can they stop this thing.
Well, Ray,
this is.
Can you forgive me for cutting you off?
No, don't cut me off now, because, baby, this may be the last time I ever say anything.
No, we got tomorrow and the next day, and I think we can save some of that for Dean Rusk.
I tell you what, now, you're not going to use me. I'm going to use myself.
Okay, well, problem is...
No, I'm going to say one thing. Let him just finish it.
We've got 10 taxes that have been waiting for us since 5:30. And
10 taxes?
And black brothers and mine that are waiting, trying to make a living.
See, you, now that's the problem, bro.
And, yeah, it is.
No, it ain't.
No, we
look, we better get you and get some education going on here, man.
Well, yeah, but we didn't eat lunch, you know, and
who's fault?
We do
yeah,
want
we
to
hungry.
Have some dinner. We voted not to have lunch.
Well, y'all better vote now.
Our program.
That's the problem,
but
man.
But I think we do need to kind of... why, no, don't move. We're okay. Yes? Okay, and if we can...
I don't think that I have sat peacefully for so long and listened to quite as much as I've heard this afternoon. But I would like for you all to know that this is not the first time that a group almost exactly like this has met in this room and said many of the things that are bothering you, that are on your minds and in your hearts.
This is the last time.
I hope it will not be the last time because as Mr.
Last time.
I said, as Mr. Robinson said, we must talk together. We must understand each other. We must understand you, and you must understand some things about us that perhaps you don't understand. We are going to try to communicate those things to you. We welcome the opportunity to respond within 10 days to the various items that you've included on your statement. I do not want to respond in particular to any one of them. I would like to say to you that I'm afraid in certain areas you just haven't had the word. We would like to give you the word from our viewpoint. We hope that you will listen to what we have to say back to you with as much sincerity and as much willingness as we have listened to what you had to say to us. And again, I want to thank you for coming, sincerely thank you for coming. I hope that we can, over the days ahead, work together towards a better understanding, towards the objective that we hold in common, regardless of how we pursue it and at what rate of speed. We are working towards the same goals. If you can believe that, then I hope you can believe what we say back to you. And we will be saying back to you the answers to these questions that you propounded to us. Thank you very much.
Let me thank you and say that one thing I guess we can agree on. We agree that things aren't going right. And I'm sure you're not satisfied with the way things are going. But I noticed when they blew up a rocket and blew up millions of dollars, nobody started talking about scrapping the space program. They put more money in it and sent them back to the laboratory to find a way to get to the moon. Now, all we're saying is that perhaps OEO hasn't functioned because it doesn't have enough money and enough power, that we may need to talk in terms of a secretary of the poor or someone at cabinet status with a permanent kind of budget and structure that would somehow be free, like a federal judge, to really represent us, and that we might have something to say about that we really have just begun on this question of poverty, and we're giving you hell, but we want you to know that this isn't where we stop. We got Brother Dirksen and Brother Long, I guess he's my brother, and Mansfield and McCormick, and we're going to take the problem on beyond you in some ways, and we want you to know that we're going to be fighting poverty one way or the other.
I didn't want to bother you with a lot of factual response to what you've said. I would just like to give you a couple of figures to bear in mind as you go out and talk to the other people, particularly the people on the Hill and the Congress. A lot of people think that the war on poverty is $1,773,000,000, which is what is appropriated to OEO this year. We're requesting a little over $2 billion for next year. The thing...
I'm going to war in Vietnam first, then we can go there. I can't keep all the figures in my head.
All I'm saying is...
War in Vietnam and
it's about $30 billion.
About $30 billion.
And we got one. If
you don't mind, I didn't interrupt you. I'd like to finish.
See, I can't keep all the figures together.
Yeah, well, all I'm saying is, the story I want to get across to you is that this administration is not proposing to spend $2 billion on the war on poverty next year, but in fact are proposing to spend almost $28 billion on the war on poverty. Don't confuse the OEO budget with the total effort being made by this administration and by this country in fighting poverty. There are programs many, many times bigger than anything that we have anything directly to do with that are involved in the total war on poverty. So please, as you think about this problem and as you talk to your congressman, remember that this is not a $2 billion program you're talking about. It's a $28 billion program. Now, we're not saying that that's enough. The president is not saying that that's enough. But it's in that magnitude and not in any $2 billion magnitude that we're concerned with in this program. Just please remember that, will you? And then,
and
I know you're...
I'm not
going
to try to... I'm not gonna try to
why don't you talk to him privately while we move
on
down?
Let me just say, everybody knows.
Mister, please get some people from this campaign to sit down, because see, when you said you're going to look into it, it's the same old thing. Get somebody from this campaign and they'll sit down, or from Poor's.
We talk to the poor people all the time.
Yeah, but why didn't you endorse them?
What's that?
Why didn't you endorse the poor people's campaign? And if you talk,
I don't know that anybody's asked us to endorse the poor people's campaign.
Andy Young, he said he didn't know if people asked him to endorse him. Did you ask him?
No, I guess we didn't.
Well, you better ask him.
You endorse the poor people's campaign.
I told you I was happy to see you, and our objectives are the same.
Let's move quickly down the elevators.
There's going to be
you got that number.
I don't.
We're going to have a conference, women's.